Hello, hello. This is Barry Phillips, and welcome to Reconnect. I am so glad to have these next 25 minutes to spend with you. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be enlightened. I want you to be helped. And I have a little bit of a verse to share with you from the book of Acts, chapter number 1. And it says here that in chapter 1, verse 13, when they came in, they went into the upper room where they were staying, both Kepha and Yaakov and Yochanan and Andre and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, Yaakov the son of Alphae, Shimon the Zealot, and Yehuda the son of Yaakov. And these were continuing with one mind in prayer and supplication with the women, and Miriam the mother of Yeshua, and with his brothers. This is a response of these 11 men to Yeshua having ascended. Yeshua has just given them a great promise. That is that you shall receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh is poured out upon you. And you are to be my witnesses, those who testify of me. And he said, you'll start in Jerusalem, you go into Judea, into Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. They didn't go and just sit in a room and wait around for something to happen. They prayed. They gathered themselves. They determined who should take up the empty office of the disciple and Messiah after Yehuda Iscariot had taken his own life and betrayed Messiah. So they were setting themselves in order. They were praying. They were seeking the Father. They were waiting for the promise that Yeshua had given to them. And they may have surmised the connection to Shavuot, that is to Pentecost, to the outpouring of the Ruach. But they nonetheless, they waited and they were patient. I want to tie that to something that I was reading in a book totally disconnected from this text. I have in my office a book on fearless networking. This is a business book, and it's about building business and about connecting people to your business and helping them to want to be involved in the business that you are about. In this book, in the very first page of the first chapter, I read something and I had to underline some words and then draw a circle around it. And the sentence says, a flimsy foundation isn't strong enough to support the weight of success. So it's imperative that you build on a rock. I love that. Let me read that again. A flimsy foundation isn't strong enough to support the weight of success, so it's imperative that you build on a rock. For you and I, we understand we build on the rock. But building on Messiah Yeshua is to understand that what we are building has a foundation that can be tested with success. I penned a response at the bottom of the page. And in response to the business aspect of this, I asked myself the question, am I prepared to be financially successful? Do I have a foundation in business that is capable of holding up under the weight of more than just a little success? Now, if we're not expecting much, we're not going to build much of a foundation. If we're looking to have great success, then we're going to have to build a foundation that can handle great success. Now, I'm not trying to do a business class today, but it's a principle that what you build and what you're building, what your level of expectation is, determines the strength and stability needed for your foundation. If you have no foundation, If you're just looking for a win in your congregation, in your personal life, in your personal walk with Messiah, you're just looking for a better turn of events. Well, that can be a day. It can be a week or a month. It can be a short windfall. But if you're going to have a continuing walk that you would call successful, and by that I mean not necessarily that you're having one glorious, rapturous style moment of encounter with him after the other, but I'm talking about a consistent day-to-day walk with him where you see the landmarks or the road signs, if you will, of maturity beginning to take place. That can be indicated by such things as that which used to depress me or cause me to stumble, that which was a habit or that which was a frequent pattern of thinking that was defeatist or debilitating into my spirit, that was in the wrong arenas, I'm not really there anymore. It could be indicated by now the levels of temptation or the levels of struggle or the issues that I'm dealing with, they're no longer the minor things that I was dealing with in the past. Now they have increased in gravity. Now we're peeling back layers and I'm getting closer to a core root of myself. While that may seem initially troubling and while you may feel like I'm losing ground, it's actually the opposite. You're gaining ground. You're getting somewhere. When we start off this walk, we start off with such issues in Hebraic roots as, what will my family think? What will my spouse think? What will my children think? Dealing with the holiday issues. And then we deal with going to someone's house to eat and then realizing they really haven't prepared food that biblically is clean enough for me to eat. Now what am I going to do? We deal with those surface level issues about the name. Do I calm down their potential for being upset by using the name Jesus as opposed to Yeshua? Or do I just simply quickly explain to them, look, I've come to call him by his Hebrew name, the one you call Jesus. I know him by his Hebrew name, Yeshua. And you can explain, you know, the meaning of the name of Yeshua. But those are surface level issues. Now, they can be very important. They can be very, very hard to deal with. Some people have a lot of issues with that, and they may not want to let you out of the ring just dealing with that. And that may take some period of time. But then when we begin to peel back some layers, and now we're dealing not with so much the root issues with someone else, but within ourselves, and we begin to recognize that I don't speak well to others. I'm too hasty to cast judgment. I'm not giving people the benefit of a doubt first. I'm judging them quickly, too quickly. I'm surmising their motives without really taking a chance to listen to them and to observe and to watch where they're going. Or I'm paying so much attention to other people, I'm not paying attention to myself. I'm not praying the way that I should. That is that my prayers are very superficial. My prayers are more about my laundry list of needs and wants rather than delving into seeking after the heart of the Father and trying to find out, Yah, what is on your heart and your mind? What is it that I can partner with you today to get accomplished? Where are your eyes at? And what is it that you're looking at that I need to see? And our prayer life begins to develop. Are we studying, just looking for a golden nugget? Or are we taking the word as it speaks to us, delving in, and it may not be a long list of texts or scripture or even a large thought, but rather that we're looking and just letting the Spirit, the Ruach, speak to us out of the pages that we are reading. All of these things began to indicate we're walking a little bit deeper, a little bit more refined. So we're not just looking to check off things that, you know, I got my Bible reading done today and my prayers done today. I've been good today. I've eaten well today. I've not tried to mess up today, so it's been a good day. Or sometimes the best days are those that we struggle the hardest and that we've had to battle and war and overcome and persevere in, to endure. Those are sometimes the hallmarks of a mature life. So what is it that we're looking for? And whether we're dealing with a congregational setting, for me, these five things I'm getting ready to mention to you, they would apply to me predominantly at House of David where I teach. For you that do not have a congregation or maybe just a very small group, maybe it's just a, you know, one or two, three of you who meet together, you can apply this to where it is that you're meeting and how you're meeting. Because the days are coming, I believe, that people's hearts and minds are going to be opened in a bigger fashion, and we need to be prepared for some success. Now, it would be easy to look into our current world environment and situation of things and say people's minds are so clouded and perverted and dulled they'll never hear. Don't be too quick to judge. I think that there is still a work in the Ruach that can be done, and I still believe that there is more people who need to come into this body of Messiah. In order to facilitate that, you and I need to create an environment, either singularly with ourselves, just the way that we walk and conduct in our daily living, or whether it's in a group setting, regardless of the number. So however how you want to apply this, maybe we can apply this to my congregation where I meet, or maybe this is for me, myself, just for me. Number one, we need to develop around us an environment of compassion. A pretty well-known teacher came to our congregation, and his wife has been ill and suffering in her body with an autoimmune disease for an extended period of time. I'm talking years and not just days or weeks. But for years, she has struggled. She would do exceptionally well, and then it could be an allergy, it could be a virus, a cold, the flu, an insect bite, and because her immune system has been depleted and not really functional, she would go into a tailspin. And he said people consistently are wanting to send her scriptures about, you know, where she may have messed up and why this may have come upon her. Or they're sending these long prayers, you know, and so forth. He said, we know how to pray, and we know how to study the scriptures. He said, but what she needs is compassion. Sometimes we want to preach a sermon. Sometimes we want to pull off one of those pharisaical situations where Yeshua said, you know, don't mind them and don't mimic them when they stand and pray in their long prayers for the attention that they will receive. They've got their reward. Sometimes a person who's hurting, when they come into contact with us, either as an individual or in a congregational setting, it's not that they need to see how much knowledge that we have of Scripture or how powerfully we know how to pray. Sometimes they just need some compassion. We never know who comes in contact with us that woke up that morning and went to bed the night before broken and hurting. Now, they're not going to paint broken and hurting on their forehead and wear it like a badge around their neck. They're going to hide that to the best of their ability. But we need the discerning of the Ruach HaKodesh that we can understand. Sometimes people just need someone to listen, not to say anything, but to listen. Sometimes, you know, you can see someone struggling and hurting, and to look at them and say, is there something I can do? Can I help you? Is there something that you need to deal with? Is there any way I can help you? You never know where that might go. They'll probably say, probably about 80% of the time, no, I'm all right, everything's fine. because they don't want to bother anybody or they don't believe that any of us would understand. Give them what Yeshua gave the man that he laid hands on and healed him so that he could see, a blind man. And he said, tell me what you see. He said, I see all men walk in his streets. That's a teaching I've already done here. But Yeshua touched him a second time. And he says, then he saw all things clearly. Sometimes when someone puts us off and says, never mind, it's okay, I'll be all right. No, I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with looking them in the eye, smiling and say, I'm here to help if you need some help. You never know where that may open up a door to where you can be the hands or the love or the compassion or the ministry, the nurturing of Yeshua to somebody. And again, he said, and you do it to these, you've done it to me. Secondly, we need an environment of correct expectations. What do you mean by that? Someone comes to our congregation, and in our congregation, we don't use an extensive amount of liturgy. We have a little bit. It's sprinkled here and there. And it's not so much that it's ceremonial or liturgical ritual reading as much as it is that those who attend our congregation know that at a certain point that we're going to stand and we're going to light the seven lights of the menorah, and we're going to pray through the sevenfold Ruach HaKodesh, or the sevenfold spirit that is named in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2. Someone is new to your congregation, it would be a correct expectation that they would not understand what we were doing. And so it would be proper for us to say, this is what we're getting ready to do. Or at the end of the service that I announce and sing over them the Aaronic benediction, blessing. And then we stand and turn toward Jerusalem and sing the Shema. And that's one of the last things that we do before we close. Well, an expectation is they may not understand what we're doing. It may be that they not understand the way that we eat or the way that we conduct ourselves. So for someone to come even two or three weeks in a row, I'm not expecting them to immediately learn how to jump through our hoops. So if they mess up, if they don't do something correctly, it's okay. We need to give correct expectations. Sometimes we expect people to catch on to our lingo, to our phrasing, to our understanding. We use the name Yeshua one or two times, and we expect them that in our presence now, they're going to change and only use that name for Messiah and not the name of Jesus that they're more accustomed to. We need to have correct expectations. That may not be the case. And if our expectations are correct, then our offendedness is not going to be as apt to be seen. I'm running out of time. Number three, sincerity or genuineness. Nothing helps someone more than to be able to perceive you as a genuine and sincere person. Look, when we put on the facade, when we dress it up and we make it up, and when we put on this presentation, I have found out that people at large, especially those who have been in a place of worship and got fed up and walked away, they can spot you a mile away. I've seen it. I have seen it when the professional religious person walks into a public setting and it's immediately discerned that this is who this person is, and people put up their walls and they hear the speech, they hear the vernacular, the phrasing. They know it's coming, and here it comes, and they're protected. And when they walk away, there's a sigh of relief. At least that's over. People need you and I to be sincere. You know, you don't have to give the religious context, the Hebraic context, every time you see somebody. Sometimes you just need to talk about the weather or about, hey, how are you doing? And remember somebody's family member's name or their name and call them by their name. And remind them, remember I met you at this location, at this event. It's good to see you again. How are you? Not waiting for a chance to tell them how you are, just simply being genuine and sincere and looking after them. This is what people need. Fourthly, we need an environment of encouragement. Look, people are beaten down, especially in our society here in America right now. People are beleaguered. They're bewildered. They're overwhelmed. They're tired of the political fray, of the arguments, of the one side pitted against the other. This division and warfare, it's not just in Hebraic roots. That is but a sign of what's going on in our society. And people are tired. They're looking for someone to give them some hope, a smile, something positive, something encouraging, something that is enlightening. Sometimes the best thing you can do is tell someone a clean joke and help them to laugh, to make a funny remark, to laugh at yourself. You do something that's silly and instead of beating up on yourself, I don't know why I do these stupid things. No, just kind of laugh at yourself, let them laugh with you and get over it. But to be a source of encouragement. Sometimes it means picking up the phone and giving somebody a call. It may be an uncomfortable conversation, but if it's encouraging to someone, they need it, and you need to be the one to give it to them. And then finally, an environment of helps. Compassion, correct expectations, sincerity or genuineness, encouragement. We need to give or create around us an environment of helps. Now, I've already talked about helping someone. Can I help you? I have tried to practice this on occasion. I see someone that has finished unloading their car. Here I call them a buggy. Some people call them a shopping cart or whatever. We always called them a buggy. Okay, so this wheeled metal apparatus that you put your groceries or your purchases in and take them to your car, whatever you call that, someone's finished with that, especially if it's a mama and she's got kids in the car, or if it's an elderly person, to walk up to them and say, may I take this and put it away for you? That act of kindness, just being a helper, goes a long, long way. You're standing in line and you got a large buggy full of things. Someone else is stepping up behind you and they got, just a few, three or four or whatever. Please, let me help you with that. You go in front of me. An act of kindness, being a helper, being someone that steps alongside and gives a hand. You never know where that may change someone's life or their day. I hope this is just, a friendly reminder, an encouragement to you. Let's make a dent. Let's make a deep footprint for Messiah in the next few days. This is Barry with Reconnect. Shalom.